This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. We just heard a bit about how the public health sector might need to adjust its ideas about the pandemic and about what it will mean to move forward and get back to something we all consider normal. It's becoming increasingly clear that the next mile of public health challenges will rely heavily on community organizations. We thought immediately about ACCESS. The Arab Community Center for Economic and Social Services in Dearborn has leaned way in during the pandemic, adapting its existing programs for community wellness to some rapidly changing circumstances. Hassan Jaber is president and CEO of ACCESS, and he joins us now. Hi, Hassan. Welcome back to Stateside.
Hello, April. And it's really good to be with you.
ACCESS was an early community provider of COVID testing, and you were able to reach a very respectable 15,000 people and counting with tests. Has it been possible to pivot that healthcare infrastructure to vaccinate people for COVID?
And the latest figures, April, is we're closing in on 20,000 vaccinations, and we're doing it through our clinics in Dearborn. We're doing it through our clinic in Sterling Heights in Macomb County. And also we're doing these evening clinics to accommodate people working during daytime. So, also to accommodate Muslims fasting during the month of Ramadan. We really are using the trust that the community put in us to make sure that we have information out, make sure that the community has access to the vaccine, make sure that we really mobilize the community to take the lead on how we confront this pandemic and get us to where we need to be going.
Speaking of which, I wanted to ask about the ability that organizations like ACCESS have to go places. Folks may know that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines require a rather elaborate and cold storage system, but I seem to remember that you had a mobile unit that you were using to take around for testing. If the FDA gets to a point of clearing providers to use the Johnson & Johnson vaccine again, is that something you would expect ACCESS would use for distribution to try to reach people who maybe cannot or do not leave their homes?
Definitely. In fact, April, we will mobilize the mobile clinics again. We'll activate the mobile clinics again, this time to do the vaccine. And mentioning the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it's really important to understand that there are communities, especially homeless communities, the people with disability, people with lack of mobility. This is a vaccine that the Johnson & Johnson that can be extremely helpful. So we will be activating the mobile clinics, in fact, in less than a week from now. And we hope that these mobile clinics will start to make a difference in terms of getting us to the 70%, 80% immunity.
So everyone is hoping for that right now. But as we've heard, some public health officials are starting to moderate their language in how they talk about that. Maybe we won't get to herd immunity. Maybe there are factors, you know, for people who can't overcome their hesitancy or who cannot navigate the system and we can't reach them through mobile units. What does your experience during the pandemic tell you about this? Do you think we are going to get back to something we recognize as normal?
First, April, I think we shouldn't give up on vaccinating as many people as possible. We still have populations who are having a hard time get into a vaccine site or understand the information to where to go. We need to continue to seek out these people and really make sure we listen to what's going on in the community, make sure we mobilize the community. I doubt, April, that we will ever go back to where we were. And maybe we shouldn't go back to where we were. I think that there are big questions for us as a society: pollution, environment, healthcare, equity in healthcare. We need to seriously consider our future and seriously consider our priorities in terms of preventing what happened with this pandemic, preventing that from happening in the future.
Right. Hassan, I read recently that the stats on COVID in Arab and Muslim communities have been kind of tricky to pin down, since the U.S. Census still classifies folks with Middle East roots and North African roots as white. What's the consequence of that?
The consequences is we really don't know what's going on in the Arab American communities. We know what we know, April. We know we have more infection among Arab Americans coming to us because we are a community clinic. We know that among them, Arab Americans are having much more difficult time dealing with this pandemic, much more difficult time in terms of information. But the data is missing, April, because Arab Americans' population are lost in the white population, although they may have unique needs and harder times. The state of Michigan is doing the best that they could do. But frankly, the data is not there. So it's been really challenging for us confronting this pandemic to know the damage that's been done in the Arab American community.
Yeah. We are, of course, in the final stretch of Ramadan. This is the second year that people have been encouraged to keep their festivities a little more physically distant and to think about the health of others as they're trying to celebrate. I just can't imagine how hard that is. What have you seen in folks trying to keep their family gatherings joyful but still trying to keep each other safe?
You know, it's amazing. Ramadan, April, is about making sacrifices. It's about self-discipline. It's about reflecting. I'm seeing this year less of festivities and more of solidarity, more of understand how fragile we are as societies and as communities. Hopefully, this is the last Ramadan where we see the worst side of disease, and in the future we see more of festivities and happiness.
You have made an announcement that you're going to be stepping down after a very respectable tenure, 41 years as the head of Access. Why did you decide that this was the time to do this?
First, April, I'm not going to go away. I'm leaving my position. I'm staying as a consultant. I really want to spend more energy on how do we develop the next generation of leadership? How do we connect a nonprofit organization with each others, and also turn these organizations from service organizations to change makers. And I think nonprofit organizations are frankly the most now connected and probably the most powerful tools in making life better and making impact and changing societies. I think we could do that. I just want to spend some time figuring out how we could do this as a community.
Hassan Jaber is, until September, the president and CEO of Access, based in Dearborn. Hassan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, April. It's always a pleasure talking to you.